couple of times you mentioned things related to brands, especially early on in the hospitality space. And we were one of the things that Casasa does specifically is offer a brand that provides some level of consistency and reliability that a consumer can find, regardless of, you know, which of the community institutions they're deciding to use. From your perspective, having been in the hospitality industry and then part of the disruptor of that same industry, like, how is the brand and its reliability, how important is that, and how do you see that factoring in for consumerism going forward? Because the millennials are, you know, they're clearly going through a lot of changes as they progress through life stages right now. How do you see that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's some of the basics about brands, and you know this better than I do based upon the roles you've been in, is that brands basically a promise. It's an editing. I like to think of it as an editing function. And what do I mean by that? It means life is full of choices. And actually, in some ways, the internet has made us more promiscuous customers. And what I mean, is there are many alternative ways to figure out how to buy the thing or the product or service you want to meet the needs you're trying to solve. So by being more promiscuous, the internet making us more promiscuous because it sort of leveled the playing field, allowed you to discover things you wouldn't have known about. In some ways, it's made brands weaker. In some ways, it's made them stronger. In one way, it sort of leveled the playing field for smaller players in the marketplace. A great idea might get adopted and found more quickly because of the internet. But so that means just being an established player, you have more competition. At the same time, the internet itself, you know, and Google, you know, it's like, God, you get 150,000 results. What, you know, you're going to rely on just looking at the first page of your Google search. But at the end of the day, sometimes you need a hierarchy or an editor to help you understand what's reliable. I mean, that's, you know, that's why people buy Apple products, you know, because there's a design in the Apple product that's sort of addressing that an unrecognized need that's just above a desire, the unrecognized need that you hadn't even thought you needed, and all of a sudden they've delivered it to you. So I do think that the more complex the market, the more choices you have, the more you appreciate a brand, because a brand provides an editing function. And an editing function is just another way of saying a way of simplifying your life. And so for that reason, I think that, you know, brands in a complex environment have a real purpose that actually they serve, because it allows someone to go quickly get to the bottom line of their decision-making, based upon being able to just exclusively focus their attention on a particular brand and its choices. So, so I think, but let me also say that that's all assuming that it's a positive brand. A negative brand or a negative association with a brand can actually be toxic.
Equally as damaging, if not more, right?
That's right, because in the old days, a negative brand or a negative experience with a brand led to word of mouth, and today it leads to word of mouse. And what I mean by that is literally the word of mouth, which was just, you know, you telling some friends face to face, has now become something that on social media and on activist sites around, you know, certain brands that where people don't like the brand, you know, you'll go out and just read all kinds of toxic, terrible things about what that brand has done to their customers. And that doesn't serve the brand well. So, you know, the bottom line is that a brand is a promise and it's positive. It's also, it can be a negative reputation. That United video of the guy being dragged off the plane, you know, it will take United years to get over that. In terms of, you know, they'll get over it over time, but that kind of brand association is just a killer in a world where people are interested in storytelling, and they're open to beating up on the, you know, the King of the Hill brands that, you know, we all know and hate.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, a scenario like that, at least from my position as a person who's in charge of getting brands out. I think sometimes keeping up with the technology, right? So something like Google, something like Bing, any type of tech that's going to combine not just a relevant piece of information someone searches for, but the thing you didn't know you were searching for. So if I go out mm-hmm. and search for something about a United flight, and maybe I'm looking for a flight, and it also delivers most recent current news about a company at the same time, those are mm-hmm. things that in the past brands never had to deal with. Right. I mean, if you were searching for a product, you went to the page, or you called someone at the institution, or you asked a friend about a specific product, and probably what you would receive is that one individual's engagement with the brand, as well as what little information they could probably tell you about the products themselves, unless you were speaking to the company. Now, and I think this is one of the struggles that consumerism creates, right, is that the technology is responding so rapidly to the needs of the consumer to have a more ecosystem view of what they're searching for, that when I search for United or Delta or Kasasa, I get exactly what I'm searching for, plus 4 or 5 to 20 to 200 pages of things I didn't know I was searching for that might equally be relevant. And managing that consumer trend is extremely difficult for for any brand. But it's extremely difficult for the local types of institutions. Would you say, do you mm-hmm. see the smaller institutions having a more difficult time managing that, or is the fact that they're local giving them an advantage in that maybe they're face-to-face with more of their customers?
It's hard. I think it's really impossible to generalize, because you could probably look at specific examples that are both sides of that coin. I think the key is to know this, that anybody who's sort of doing a middle, anybody who's sort of driving in the middle of the road is,
right.
is in trouble.
Yeah.
dangerous in terms of good driving advice, right? There are, don't drive in the middle of the road, drive on one side or the other. And then when I say one side or the other, I'm really talking about big or really small. And if you're sort of the mid-level, there's a risk that mid-level also means middle of the road in terms of how you deliver your experience for the product or the service. And that's where it gets risky. And there are very few industries out there that I can look at where I can say the mid-level brand is the one that's dominant
right.
and has growing. You know, it's generally someone who's got an expertise at higher end or lower end or some other element, some other delivery of service that they can say is their differentiator. So for the local, what locals have going for them, and this is true, I'll just use boutique hotels for a moment because it's something I know very well. Boutique hotel world is generally small, but there are a collection of boutique hotel companies like the one that I started, Joie de Vivre, which grew to, you know, we created 52 boutique hotels. A smaller company today since I've sold it, but it's similarly Kimpton has, you know, the largest boutique hotel company got to a place where they were a mid-sized hotel company in the sense that they had a lot of hotels. They were large for a boutique hotel company, but mid-sized relative to other hotel companies out there. The thing that worked for them and for Joie de Vivre and a few others is that they kept very indigenous. So if you had a boutique hotel in one market, the quality and experience of that could be moderately different than what it is in another market. So the brand association for
right.
Joie de Vivre or for Kimpton was, you're going to have a local flavor wherever you are. There may be some hallmarks of what the experience includes. For Kimpton, it was usually a wine hour and a signature restaurant in the hotel.
Right.
But the nature of that wine hour, the nature of that signature restaurant, the nature of the decor, et cetera, could be vastly different if you're staying in New Orleans versus staying in Dallas. It should be. I mean, if a boutique hotel the way people think of it is meant to be sort of a reflection of, it's a lodging experience that's a reflection of the place in which it's located, Well, great. Then that it should continue to have that soul and that personality. So the risk of what happens is that someone who actually creates, let me use a different example, I'm not using a specific company, but someone creates a bunch of boutique hotels, and then they start the process of growing to be a mid-sized company has led them to losing some of the magic of that personalized, localized flavor. Because the nature of growing a business becomes more transactional and operational. And therefore, it loses some of the flavor that allowed it and really continues to allow it to be its differentiator. And so what I would say from a brand perspective is the best investment a small or small to mid-sized company that's localized could make is in taking the steps, whatever those steps are, depending on the industry and the location, that make it sort of the local favorite. Yeah, for a boutique hotel, it means, you know, how do you make sure you have locals hanging out in your restaurant? So you don't just feel like you're staying in a Marriott restaurant, you're staying in a locals restaurant. And you know, what people are surprised by in the hotel business is what percentage of the recommendations of where people stay come from locals that you're coming to visit there. You're going to do a business trip to Denver and you're in sort of an offbeat location in Denver. You ask the people who come to visit, you know, where should I stay? And it ends up being locals who make the suggestion. And that, for a lot of people, they think, well, that doesn't make sense. You're marketing a hotel to locals. Locals won't stay there. Well, sometimes they do. They'll have a staycation. But no, actually, because those locals are actually recommending to their friends, family, business.
Who are coming in town. Right.
That's right. So I think the number one thing your audience could appreciate is what are the things, everything from what philanthropy are you doing locally that actually has you in the face of your customer as a good citizen in your local community, to what are the things you do in the environment, you know, whether it's physical environment, bricks and mortar, or whether it's on the website, that actually give it that flavor that helps people feel like, I'm supporting local when I'm actually working with them.
Yes, they're providing the extra reason that maybe they weren't looking for to begin with, because in some cases they're looking for a transaction. I'm looking for a place to stay. And we're giving them, in addition to that, the value of staying at this place is not just that you have found your transaction, but you've also found something significantly more than that that provides additional human value that they might not have expected.
Right. I mean, the risk is if you're in an industry or if you're in a segment where the customer doesn't really give a damn, they don't, they're just looking for a transaction. And the more commoditized the industry is, the more you're a little challenged, because it the idea of being the local flavor, the local favorite, is less interesting when all they want is a Band-Aid, or you know, all they want is something that's just sort of like, you know, solve this for me. So I, you know, that and your industry has a certain amount of that built into it.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely, I mean, that is always one of the challenges with any type of financial services marketing, is that it either already is or is on a continuum of a commodity of some degree, right? Most of the financial services products, you have to work to bring them to the point of actually having personality, right? That is part of the magic of having the brand around it, is that it's very difficult to create personality in a product that people either don't want to think about or think about infrequently as only something that's a utility.